This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, a corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Shane and John?
Yeah, I can feel it.
All right. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. All right. So we are back. We are the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy, joined tonight by Shane and John. You guys doing?
Can't complain too much.
Yeah, doing pretty good. Going to be running on pretty low sleep, but we'll see how well I do.
Yes. New job ventures for you, right? It's great.
Yeah.
Great way to start off your first day. I'll just do a radio show a couple hours before I got to go in. No problem.
Yeah. 6 hours from now, I'm going to be at my first day of my new job. I stopped working at Amazon. Last week was my last week. And I'm going to be driving a forklift full time at a new place.
Cool. Well, it's sad to see, you're at the end of the era with Amazon for you, right?
Yeah.
Until, of course, they take over the world, right?
Well, yeah,
they're trying to grow. Everybody's working for them.
Exactly. It's, like I said earlier to Shane, one day we'll all be working for Amazon, man. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, they're almost trying to grow too fast, and they're having a lot of growing pains right now, so hopefully they get all that sorted out.
Well, I have a feeling they'll do just fine. I think Bezos has set things up quite nicely, and they seem to be. I think they can afford to lag behind a little bit right now because they don't seem to have very much competition in anything these days.
Well, this is the perfect time for a competitor to come along.
It is, but
it seems like that with many things, like with Amazon, Facebook. I mean, all these, but. At the same time, they kind of do seem unstoppable too.
Well, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Facebook. That was actually going to be one of the examples that I was going to bring up because, yeah, they're prime for it, for a take, for a competition to come in and wipe them off the board. But nobody seems to step up, and it's funny, especially when it comes to companies like Amazon and Facebook, who so many people make use of almost daily, but then also complain about them almost daily about how horrible they are and how they've, there's no competition, but then they just complain about it and don't do anything about it. I use my co-host on the Seeds of Liberty, Dave, as a great example of this. He's constantly complaining about how things should be better. I'm like, then why aren't you trying to make them better? Why are you just sitting there complaining about it? Get out and do something, That's why, especially with Facebook, when any of those other, would-be competitors popped up, I would always at least go check them out because it was like, okay, at least somebody's trying to do something here. Let's see if you can make it better. But, just like everybody else, I ended up coming back to Facebook because, it is currently the king for a reason, It's not a...
Yeah, for us, it's weird because everybody else is here. And, I don't know about you guys, but the only reason that I'm on Facebook is to reach people, not to see my friends from high school and their cats and their food and stuff,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, me especially because, my friends from high school pretty much all hate me.
Same here.
But, yeah, I have no interest in catching up. I don't even, rarely, if anything, check in on or even see anything from any family that's still on my list. But yeah, it's specifically to post content and connect with my actual friends around the world because it's just the easiest meeting place for a lot of us, basically.
Yeah, Facebook does have the largest network advantage in this social media market, I guess you could say, and it's hard for a competitor to come along and kind of topple that sort of monopoly, so to speak.
It's just weird because it feels like it was so easy for them to do it to MySpace, and MySpace was so much better, in my opinion.
There are things I liked about MySpace. I don't know better, although actually I did resist for a long time. I remember when I was first, I think the first time I heard about Facebook was, of course, conveniently when I had gotten back to college at a later time in life and to try to get my veterinary technician license. And all the young kids in my classes were all talking about this Facebook thing and telling me if I wanted to connect with them, I should get there. And I'm like, but I got MySpace. Why do I need another service? I don't want to do that. You know, like the Luddite in me. Just like, no, man, no, times are not changing. No, change is bad.
Well, for me, it really screwed me, too, because, you know, I had that business, you know, throwing raves and stuff back then. And I had this massive MySpace profile built up, and there was this program called Friend Blaster Pro, where you could like harvest all of the friends from your competition and just add them automatically with leaving your computer on all day. And then you could post comments on their page with your advertisements. So I was killing it until Facebook took over and they didn't allow anything like that.
Ruining the party for some people.
Yeah, I never even had a MySpace. Facebook was my first social media experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, that's I always figure I'm like the last person to get involved in stuff like that. I guess I wasn't, because I actually did. Yeah, I had a MySpace page for quite a few years. Actually, like, you know, decorated it and stuff, and kept up on it. It was. I mean, I used it largely. I did use it to make friends across the country and stuff, but I also used it to follow bands. That was the for me, that was like one of always my favorite features about it. It was just so easy to follow any of the bands I was interested in.
And they actually had the free music on there and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It was great.
Oh, I do remember that. That was cool.
Yeah, that was like the that was the thing, and that's why it's still to this day. That's why it still exists. Even though, you know, nobody uses it as, as Nima Vardati referenced when he made that joke about, you know, what he envisions the state being, you know, in a certain amount of years. It's just kind of like MySpace, 300 million users, but nobody's logged in over a decade type of deal.
I love it.
That's awesome.
I know I actually tried to, I also tried to log in like a year ago, because I remember Michael mentioning it, and I couldn't get into my profile anymore, but it is still technically there, and that's what kept it going for the longest time, was the fact that so many bands had built up their reputations on there, and they were reluctant to leave to the other platforms. They were like, you know, for exactly the same type of reasons that you're talking about, John. It's like, we already have our followings here, you know? We've already created this. We already have however many people like coming to our little MySpace page every day and checking out our music and stuff like that, and you know, why would we want to go anywhere else? But
yeah, and I feel like you know, MySpace was a lot friendlier to creators and stuff like that. Facebook really seems to be throttling us every step of the way and really trying to bleed us out.
Well, you know, they MySpace seemed to be more about the connections. I mean, I'm sure they had to be made. They had to have made money somehow, some way, or they wouldn't have stayed. You know, doors wouldn't have stayed open as long as they did. But
Tom made $5 billion on the sale of that.
Did he really? I forgot.
$5 billion to the Fox Network. It was.
I think I do. I vaguely remember that now. But yeah,
and he probably was so happy, like right before, you know, he got overtaken by Facebook. He sold it for $5 billion.
Yeah, that's pretty good timing, right? It's like right before everything was going to be taken away from me. Yeah, here's $5 million. I'd take that deal.
Billion.
A billion. Sorry. Yeah. Geez. Well, I would have taken $5 million.
I would have taken $1 million.
Yeah, Facebook had the first mover advantage, but Facebook has the network advantage at this point.
Yeah, well, they claim
that
what?
Makes sense.
They claim basically 2 billion people served. Although I've recently seen multiple articles, both satirical and actual ones, you know, kind of poking fun at Facebook. But it's like, yeah, you got 2 billion users, but how many of those are sock accounts? You know, which is a question I've asked multiple times, because I don't know about anybody else, but I know most of my friends have at least 3. You know, so
right,
yeah. And all of those get counted, because they're all list. They have to be listed under a different email address in order to be able to get created in the first place.
Yeah, I have 2 that I don't use. So, yeah.
See, look at that. There you go, right away. I'm pretty sure I have at least 2. One I don't use at all, and another one I use extremely sparingly. But Yeah, so out of those 2 billion users, there's probably, you know, maybe 750 million of actual people. Maybe. I don't know.
I know some friends of mine need a couple few SOC accounts because they get banned or suspended so often. But I have, you know, 2 other accounts that I never use, and I've never actually had to use them because my main account has never been suspended or banned or anything like that. Knock on wood.
Oh, what a goody two-shoes. I shouldn't say that. Before what happened to me earlier this year happened, I actually had gone years and always kind of lamenting about it, too. It's like, why don't I ever get banned? I say controversial stuff. I offend people regularly. I make memes that people that get people really angry sometimes. But I had yet to have anything happen up until that. Or no, that's not true. I think I had one 24-hour ban for some reason. I don't remember what it was for, but that was it until the 3-day one I got earlier this year. But yeah, I don't know. I know some people that get frequently end themselves up in Facebook jail, but it is more, it's not just because, you know, there's always people that just want to be trolls and enjoy offending people and kind of try to get themselves banned as like a badge of honor. But I know a lot of other people that are kind of in the boat that John referred to earlier about with content creators and stuff, because they're just frustrated that, you know, no matter what they do, they end up, you know, they're nobody gets to see their content. Because despite having thousands and thousands and thousands of likes, you know, on their page and stuff like that, the way the algorithms work and the way that, you know, as we're talking about with Facebook, what they do is try to, you know, funnel everybody into their paid advertisements. That's what they want. They want everybody to be paying to use the service now, or at least effectively paying to use the service, because they want content creators to have to pay for people to be able to see their stuff. So I know a lot of people who normally wouldn't be like those outrageous types that were just saying things just to agitate people end up getting themselves banned because they end up complaining about Facebook and they get mad about it. And, you know, justifiably, in my opinion. But we'll have to talk more when we get back from this trip to the market. Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
And we're back. Spent the first segment complaining about, you know, Amazon and Facebook taking over the world, how horrible that is. We actually had another personal story we were going to share first. We never got to. But John, you had an interesting experience past couple of days, right? You want to share that with us?
Yeah. I'm actually just now starting to calm down from it. As many people know, you know, I've had cancer for the past couple of years, and I tried to do things the natural way first, and I eventually kind of gave in to the doctors and doing chemo and stuff like that now, and I'm at the tail end of it. But I was on my way to chemo the other day, and of course, you know, I got my weed with me. It helps me a lot, and I have a card for it. They just started giving them out in the state of Maryland, even though there's no dispensaries open here. And of course, you know, I don't like asking for government permission slips, but considering that I have cancer and I can't be sitting in a prison cell, I kind of like, you know, it's a good idea for me to get that card.
Well, oh, yeah. If they're going to get, yeah, I don't like asking for them either, but if they're going to give it to you for this purpose, yeah, I don't blame you for taking it at all.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm on the way and we're in a back road and, you know, my wife's friend was driving me because she was at work. And it just cops come out of nowhere, walk out into the middle of the street and pull us over. And I literally had my grinder in my hand. And I, you know, people might think this sounds hyperbolic, but I definitely have PTSD from previous encounters. So whenever I see him, I freak out and start shaking. So I started shaking and I couldn't get my grinder back on. And like the whole thing exploded all over me. So all like weed confetti all over my hoodie as soon as we're pulling over. And I'm like, I can't hide it. I can't hide it. So, you know, they come to the door and I'm like, the only thing I can cover all the weed with is my book bag, which of course looks sketch. And it has a giant mushroom and a bunch of Narky pins and of you know, a bunch of Michael's pins and stuff. So you know,
rock hard plays. Hi, this is me.
Exactly. So he asked if there was any weed in the car, and I just, there was no hiding it. So I was like, yes, I'm on my way to chemo, I have cancer. And I gave him the card, and the dude was like baffled. He had never seen one before. And so he goes back to his car for like 20 minutes, and I'm telling another dude, like, I can't go to jail. You can't sit me in a cell. Like, you know, I have a compromised immune system. And, you know, eventually, well, so the guy tells me, he says, well, just get out of the car and just shake it off real quick. And I'm thinking to myself, I will gladly spray the evidence all over the windy ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, eventually they came back and they told me that the card wasn't legit because their dispensaries aren't open, so I can't get it anywhere legitimately, even though I already have a card. But they said, like, because of my situation, they weren't going to mess with me, and they were just going to let me go. So, yeah, that was an interesting one.
That's lucky.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, and of course, my wife's friend was, like, batting her eyelashes at him and stuff, so... That probably helped.
Yeah, that usually can't hurt, at least in my experiences. But
exercising the female privilege and such.
Wow, exactly. Man, that's I can imagine. I mean, obviously, I've had my own dealings with the law, but I mean, I can't even, like, that's got to be like really harrowing. Even like you said, I mean, technically, you have like this legal piece of paper that says you're allowed to have it, but of course they put you in that that horrible position where it's like, here, have this legal piece of paper, but we can't actually give anything to you for this legal piece of paper, you know, because that's pretty much been the story, I think, just about everywhere that it's been legalized, at least that I've heard so far, that they finally passed a law to legalize it, and then the state will drag their feet on putting the dispensaries out, and then so many people end up getting caught up in that process too, because, you know, the same thing happened here in New York. They finally legalized it. I think it went into effect at the beginning of 2016. I think it might have been 2015. I don't even remember. Like, time just is so distorted for me at this point. But I, either way, it took them at least a year before the first dispensary was finally up and running. And even now, I think there's still only one here on Long Island. A year plus later.
Bars were supposed to be open a year ago, and it still hasn't happened. There still isn't one open.
Yeah. Thanks, government.
Thanks, government. Yeah.
Indeed.
Doing everything in its power to keep people away from the medicine they actually need versus the medicine the government wants to force feed you. Good times. Good times. We'll be back. Arms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
And we're back. I'm still Jeremy. That's still Shane and John. And we have a story we're going to talk about, actually written by John, that the headline is shocking: CDC tests reveal that 3,800 U.S. water supplies are up to 400% more contaminated than Flint. And that, of course, is referring to Flint, Michigan, which is the place in the U.S. that I'm sure everybody at this point knows about, because that story has been going on for, what, I guess 3 years now at this point, maybe?
It's been a while.
Where, you know, it was finally discovered that the water supply in the town of Flint, Michigan, where actually my buddy Dylan hails from, and he has actually corrected a lot of the, or at least a lot of the early disinformation that was put out about that. He was always constantly correcting it, because he's like, I've lived there for most of my life. I know that's not true.
Well, what was the disinformation, major disinformation?
There was people blowing on both sides of it. There was people like, he actually, when there was talking about the fact that, you know, when it finally became headline news, and I guess the governor, what's the governor's name of Michigan? I don't even remember anymore. Whoever the guy is, was actually having to be, you know, on camera all the time, because they were, you know, the reporters always wanted to ask him questions, even though it was a Flint issue. And of course, the state governor has to come in and say his piece. But when reports would come out and say that, you know, the water is improving, and then a bunch of people, angry people, would get on the news and claim, look at this, my water is still horrible, and blah, 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 and say, you know, and people were claiming, oh, the government just covering up, they haven't fixed anything. And my buddy Dylan was like, nah, I just was back there to see my mom last weekend, and the water's fine in our neighborhood. There's this one section of town that's still horrible, you know, it's still horrible, there's no excuse for it, but they have actually fixed it in parts of it. You know, there are people are able to get cleaner water in a decent portion of the town versus what was being reported. So it was kind of like fear mongering in the other direction type of thing. You know, just like government is evil, and they're not doing anything right. It's like, well, no, they're slowly fixing it. I mean, they definitely screwed it up. But anyway, this story that you wrote, John, is referring to the fact that Flint is actually basically small potatoes compared to what's going on in some of the other areas of the country, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's worse in, you know, areas that were heavily industrialized, you know, in the past 40 or 50 years. So I think, you know, areas in New York and Ohio, Pittsburgh, places like that, Rust Belt areas, for some reason, and there isn't any kind of hypothesis as to why yet, this information is fairly new. You know, there has been, of course, you know, we think the pipes, but there's a possibility of contamination from, you know, paint and things like that. They have gotten water.
Speculation. Hold on, John. You're breaking up an awful lot. I'm trying to increase your buffer over here, but you're coming in.
Sorry about that. Am I good now?
Yeah, hopefully. You were just you're a little jumpy for a little while, but can you pick up where you're? Start that little section over again. Sorry
about that.
We were saying, no, it's okay.
But yeah, it's just they're kind of speculating as to what the issue is. But there are certain communities that have figured this out on their own and are now, you know, like suing the various boroughs and stuff like that. Like there's one community in Brooklyn that has levels that are like four times Flint. And they have, you know, sued the city to try to figure out what's going on, but there's not any kind of answers yet as to what is going on.
Oh, wait, you mean the state of New York is not quick to provide responses to these things? I can't, that can't be true. I would never
imagine. Yeah, they're the worst. But yeah, it's estimated that it could cost over $1 trillion over the next 25 years to replace the, you know, pipelines for the water throughout the country.
Wow.
Yeah. When I first saw the article that you linked, I figured that it could also contain the city where I used to live. I know this article is mostly about lead, but there are also other contaminants that can end up in the city water. And I'm from an old, well, my old city that I'm from, I won't name names, but they used to use chlorine in the water to try to keep it sterile. And they switched over to something called chloramine, which is a lot cheaper and longer lasting than chlorine. And there's even dichloramine and trichloramine, which I think was added to the water and created a like a chlorine overload. And it even leached concrete into the water and broke water mains and stuff.
And, could you smell it, like when you turned your sink on?
A little bit when you turn the sink on, but mostly when you take a shower, it would smell like a swimming pool. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say either that or like, or if you took a, if you tried to take a drink out of a, like a glass of the water, like I can imagine if you put it up to your nose like that as you're drinking, you would probably get a stronger whiff of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I remember when I grew up in PA that I actually grew to like the taste of the water, especially the stuff that came out of the water fountains in our school. And I realized later on in life that I actually liked it because it had a very metallic taste. But
oh
I got so I got so used to it, like, but that was the taste like I actually looked for in water. When I actually got like purer water, I was disappointed because I was like, it doesn't have any taste to it. And people look at me like, water's not really supposed to have a taste, dude.
Yeah, well, a lot of people like well water for that very same reason.
For the metal taste?
Yeah, well, different well waters have different minerals. And I know some of them are high in iron. And I used to drink a high iron well water. And I know people that prefer their water to be well water. So
yeah. We have well water, but we still use a Berkey because you know, it's like hard water, I believe, whatever that means.
Yeah, I know all the terms for this stuff. I'm kind of iffy on what they all actually mean. I just know what I like. I just know what I like the taste of, because I do drink, I do consume a lot of water. At least I try to. You know, I try not to keep much else in the house other than whatever my kids like to drink.
Well, it's funny, this issue with the lead, you know, with private industry and stuff, like they realized it was a problem a long time ago and it's been removed from products for a long time. And, you know, this is government infrastructure, of course, that's either deteriorating or poisoned to begin with. I'm not sure if they've figured that out yet. Or both.
Yeah.
Right, it doesn't
Hashtag why not both.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about the fluoride in the water.
Yeah, well, that's a whole separate issue. But yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you mentioned, like, you know, lead was taken out of so many things, like paint. You know, it used to be in paint. And, you know, like my house, for example, we still have lead paint in my house. I just never did anything about it because I realized, you know, as long as my kids aren't eating it, we're fine. You know, it's not that big a deal. It's only on the ceiling anyway. But, you know, that's the way they did everything back in the day. Same thing with the gas, you know, with gas. The whole reason, you know, it still says unleaded for the gas is because, well, it used to be leaded.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, they, it's shocking on one hand to see these type of numbers, like when you're talking about 400% worse than Flint, and Flint, like I said, is a crisis that most people now have heard about because it actually made national news. But, you know, so it's shocking that those type of numbers, but on the other hand, it's not that surprising because, as we're talking about here, it is government and they do stuff like this, you know.
And you know, it's not too surprising in the sense that Shane here is at a place where he lived where the water was maybe not lead, but not right. Something wasn't right with it. And I had a similar situation in a place I lived. So here's two out of three people. And I know you live in New York. We might even have three out of three. You have lead in your house. So Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Although it's funny, it's interesting. Like the map that's on this article where it shows like the different pockets of areas where there actually is a whole bunch of problems. Like red's supposed to be like the dark red's supposed to be the worst area. And there's a bunch of these dispatches all over this place. And there's a bunch of colors listed, but the color that shows up for New York really doesn't like look like it matches anything. It's got its own special color. So I don't know what that actually means. Because Long Island looks like it's relatively clear of things, but it's like this weird gray color that I can't, it doesn't seem to match up very well. Well, that just might be my old eyesight. Like I'm trying to look at the color chart here and figure out what that actually means. But as far as I know,
the darker red is like a higher concentration.
Yeah, no, I know that. But the color itself that covers, like New York looks like, to me, looks like gray with like spots of pink in it.
I see. Yeah.
Which would make sense. Long Island looks like it's all gray, so it looks like, you know, it's a little bit. From what I remember looking into, the water isn't too bad here. I mean, although I still use filtration. That's just, you know, something I've done for a very long time anyway, and continue doing once my kids came around. So it's just a habit more than anything else. But the taste overall, I don't really necessarily mind. You know, it's not that good old metallic taste back from the water fountains of my youth in the Poconos. But
oh my God,
it's a taste I can get used to. But I don't think it's. I mean, the fact that it's in Brooklyn doesn't necessarily surprise me. But I haven't heard of anything at least out here. And I actually, you know, you're speaking of the fluoride stuff. I actually know because so many people were freaking out about that, but apparently they got rid of that here. There's actually no fluoride in the water here on Long Island, so I guess they do something right.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
One of the few things, but yeah, man, it's crazy that these things, because this, I mean, again, these are not, I mean, a lot of these where these pockets are, I mean, these systems have been up and running for, you know, a pretty decent amount of time, but not all of them, not necessarily. It's not, you're not talking about, you know, hundreds and hundreds of year old stuff. It's just people, you know, they either put things up for the cheap because, well, that's how government does things. You know, they put it up for the cheap, but they charge you triple for it.
Or they used risky materials.
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah, they'll do that, or it goes out. You know, they don't go to the highest bidder necessarily. You know, things often get passed off. Contracts like that often get passed off through cronyism and stuff like that. And
friends and family members get the deals.
Yeah, and those type of people are usually not necessarily interested in having the best quality product or service. Hence the reason they're looking for the help in getting the market edge to begin with. So you know, unfortunately, this is bound to happen. Thanks, government. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Biptunia. Music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's BIPTUNIA. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.
Segment here before we head to the top of the hour, and We had this one story that John sent us that we've talked extensively on this show. I think a lot of the different hosts have. I know Lou's done it a bunch of times, and I think we actually covered it recently too. The whole idea of IP and copyright and stuff. But this one just to me is just like just highlights how horrible this entire scam, as far as I'm concerned, can be, and how it can just destroy people for absolutely no reason other than other people wanting to be greedy, and because they don't. As far as I'm concerned, people that cling to IP and stuff like that are so convinced that they'll never have another good idea that they have to cling to the one that they have. Right. And make sure nobody else can do anything with it. And this one, the headline is bogus trademark claim blocks ban from using the name they had for 20 years. And it's all about the band, which I had never heard of, but I guess they're a band out of Baltimore.
Yeah, they're fairly local, and I actually grew up going to their shows and stuff like that. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and I was promoting for them for a while when I was a teenager, so they've been around forever, and I don't think they ever really made it to the national scene or anything like that, but they, you know, had a pretty sizable following on the East Coast, but years...
Schizocalypso is the name of the band, right? I don't think I should have ever said that.
Yeah, yes. Schizocalypso is their name, and they're like a typical rock band or whatever, and they're not like too crazy or heavy or anything, but it's really cool stuff. But basically what happened is this rapper who was like 7 years old when they started making music decided to trademark his name, and his name happens to sound like one of the words in their name. So now all of their stuff has been ripped from Spotify and their CD distributors. And so all the people that listened to their music back in the day can't have access now. And they're not poor anymore because one of their members passed away. And it's not really, you know what I'm saying? They're focused on other projects now. So this is more of like a sentimental thing. Like, you know, their music has just been wiped from the face of the earth. And that's like a lot of memories for people and stuff. And this is all just because some guy is trying to take ownership of an extremely generic name. So they're trying to handle it behind the scenes, so they won't say whether it's Schizo or Calypso, but it's pretty obvious which one it is, and it's generic. And, you know, so these I think it's CD Baby is the distributor that they used, won't recognize the fair use that they've had this name for 20 years. And it shouldn't even matter anyway. I think that this guy just saw that their SEO was better than his, so he trademarked his name and had it, had everything booted.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't... I think, regardless of how it went down, I think that, you know, because the way I when I read this, it said that basically it's anybody who has a name close to it. So I don't think necessarily that they may not be the only one this has happened to, unfortunately. You know,
no, they're not. They said that there is somebody who also has a similar name that they've dealt with before in a friendly way, who they saw just renewed their trademark and stuff like that, and they don't think it's a coincidence. They think it's because they were forced to by this other dude.
Oh, wow. This whole thing, if you know, take the trademarks and stuff out of the equation, I mean, all you'd have to do is literally just go look at the history and be like, okay, these guys started way back when. Clearly.
Exactly.
You know, like, that's like the insanity of the whole idea of trademarking stuff. It's like, especially when it comes to words, you know, like, when you can translate, when you can, you know, basically trademark words or certain phrases or stuff like that, that people have to give you some type of credit if they want to use that word or phrase. Like, that's insane.
Did you see a few months ago where Gene Simmons tried to trademark the devil horns? So like, anytime anybody did devil horns, apparently it was him. Yeah. Paid.
Yeah, but of course that wasn't even started by him. That wasn't that Ronnie James Dio who started that?
Yeah, and his wife was mad.
Oh, well, I mean, Gene, ever the greedy capitalist pig. he's a whole different story. But yeah, man, trademark, copyright, IP. Look at it ruin people's lives. Worms.
Worms.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Probably talk about this in the show.
Trigger warning. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour. Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. All right. And we're back for the second hour. I'm Shane, and I'm here with Jeremy and John. So, how are you guys?
Well, doing good, except being too busy to do talk radio. Talking to do talk radio, apparently. I was not paying attention to the clock, and we were all engrossed in a conversation. And so I guess that means I'm doing good.
Right on.
How about you guys?
I can't complain, considering.
Mm-hmm. Good. But yeah, so as we were coming back from the break, coming into the break here, we may have heard us talking about, I don't even know where we left off, but of course cryptocurrencies, which has been a favorite topic of ours for the past couple of weeks.
We're doing it in the second hour today.
Yeah, changing things up a little bit. You know, last week we slowly built up. I think we started dedicating more and more time to it over a couple of weeks span, and then last week we did the whole first hour on it. I was telling the guys during the break a story of, you know, because in the first hour we talked some, you know, a decent amount about, you know, government and how they just get in the way in so many different ways. I was talking about my experiences with looking into purchasing Monero, which is the newest cryptocurrency that I'm trying to get a hold of. Because based on what I've read and a lot of people that I follow, what they talk about, does seem to have a lot of promise. You know, one of those things that's kind of poised to hopefully take off in another year or so. So it's still a really good time to get in, because currently Monero, I think it was at 131 the last time I looked, right before the show started.
Well, it hasn't been over 100 for very long, and it's already at, like, you know, 125, 130-ish, so...
Yeah, it spiked in the last, I think, 3 or 4 months, maybe. But it's been hovering, you know. I was told if I could manage to get it around 120, I think, if it dropped back down to there, that would be a good time to buy. But anyway, I was looking into, you know, actually purchasing some, because as I was telling the guys, you know, it's kind of the only thing that's a pain in the butt about it is it's not available in the same places that everything else is available necessarily. So, like, certain wallets that I have, or the Jax wallet that I've complained about extensively that I used to have, and now the Coinami wallet that I do like a lot, even though they both have Shapeshift, and Coinami has Changely as well, You can't, you know, Monero is not on the other one of those, so you cannot make those easy transactions. So I went looking into how to, you know, what would be a good place to actually purchase it, like what exchanges the Monero team and that community actually recommends. So I went through their site, and one of the things that they listed as a good, you know, good source of a place to go that they recommend would be to actually go to the Shapeshift site, which is the service that essentially allows you to trade cryptocurrencies for cryptocurrencies, usually for, I think it's just for the, I think they must charge a little bit of a fee or something, but basically for the mining fees, just like any other transaction. But it makes it super easy for you to exchange these things rather than to actually having to go to an exchange and try to sell your Bitcoin or whatever cryptocurrencies to somebody else in exchange for a different type of cryptocurrency. Which is the way a lot of people do their transactions. But, you know, to be able to do it instantaneously yourself without having to involve another party is even more convenient. So I had never actually been to their site before because, like I said, I had used it on the mobile wallets that I have in the past. So I've never had to deal with this before. So I said, okay, I'll go check this out. So I go to click the link, and all of a sudden I get not the blue screen of death from Windows, but I get the red screen of warning that basically tells me that I cannot access the site that I want to go to for my own good. And apparently there's been laws written that you know, this is this type of site is considered dangerous to me, potentially dangerous to me, because somebody somewhere got hacked at some point over something. You know, nobody's allowed to participate in this, and it's you know, that's the way it's couched. Now, of course, this is basically just the way that, you know, New York does most things, where they like to control how things work.
Masoda.
Yeah, exactly. And they like to regulate everything to death. But, you know, so basically it's a, you know, went through this whole thing and explained how, you know, it's you know, it went into the fact that it's the law and there's just literally nothing we can do about this. We cannot allow you to access this site. And then I'm scrolling further down, and it gets to the point where it mentions where this in fact is law. And apparently they're listing the places not only in the U.S., but worldwide where this is law. And there's only three places listed where you're not able to access this particular website. And they are the state of New York, which, of course, should not be surprising to anybody who knows much about it, knows about the Democratic People's Republic of New Yorkistan. The state of Washington, which is not, I guess, super surprising, at least as far as, you know, Seattle and their insane laws and stuff go. But then the third one, which should be no surprise at all, but again, makes the comparisons I make with New York perfectly justifiable. The third one is North Korea. Those are the three places listed on this giant red warning that I got instead of being able to allowed access to the Shapeshift site were the state of New York, the state of Washington, and North Korea.
Well, you know, New York, North Korea, same difference.
Well, yeah, like I said, that's why I refer to that. That's why I refer to the New York as such. You know, the Democratic People's, that's what it is, right? The Democratic People's Republic of New Yorkistan. Yeah. Because, yeah, a lot of the laws here are just insane. But like I said, they couch it as for my safety, of course. But, you know, with all the other laws they have here in New York, you know, where they make it virtually impossible for anybody to trade cryptos here unless you want to spend a whole bunch of money. And not even just like, you know, giant trading and stuff like that, just like minimal, you know, just like little day trading here and there. Oh no, you know, they make you get like licenses and jump through hoops. It's just insane.
New York is best York.
Yes.
The Empire State.
Yeah, very aptly named. I never, you know, I knew that was the state, you know, the way the state was referred to my whole life, but it never clicked into me until a couple of years ago. I'm like, oh yeah, now I understand. I get it.
It's the Rockefeller's plantation, man.
Yeah, but it's, of course, it's all to keep people away from the dreaded cryptocurrencies, which are, you know, poised to take, you know, we talked the first hour about how Facebook and Amazon in particular, taking over the world, but you know, things grabbing some type of monopoly or stuff. But of course, you know, Bitcoin is not Bitcoin, but cryptocurrencies in general are kind of poised to take over the you know, the banking world and hopefully topple that monopoly. So that of course is a threat, which is why there's constant, you know, need, air quotes I should put around the word need, from government officials to try to interfere, not just in New York but in other places, because it's been tried and they're going to continue to try to find ways to regulate this type of stuff. Because, you know, of course, the fact that it's so unregulated is, again, a danger to us, and government must protect us from that. And one of the articles that Shane shared with us actually, I think, goes into the fact that, you know, it's basically that they actually mention multiple times, I think, the fact that it's unregulated. And, you know, when it comes from these mainstream sources, unfortunately, because this one particular article came from Forbes, where they talk kind of, you know, not negatively, not necessarily, you know, horribly negatively about it, because there's a disclosure from the author that he actually owns Bitcoin, which is good to know. but it's still kind of like, I know when people look at that, especially in mainstream publications, they see the word deregulation, they of course, you know, or deregulated or unregulated, they of course think, you know, back to their basically back to their history lessons with, like, oh my god, it's the Wild West. Yeah, it's so it's, you know, exactly.
I see the word unregulated. When I see the word unregulated, I think party time.
Right. Yeah. But most people think we need regulations to protect us from ourselves, when all we're trying to do is, you know, make consensual trades. No victim, no crime.
Yeah. But, you know, if government doesn't protect us from ourselves, who will, Shane?
Yeah. But, yeah, even Forbes is printing articles and, well, publishing articles on Bitcoin. And I was actually at, like, this New Age convention today, and I had my Conscious Resistance t-shirt on, which I thought they were going to be more interested in the Conscious Resistance part of it. But I had three people comment, because it was sponsored by Bitcoin.com, and I had three people comment on the Bitcoin part of it. And so I actually had a few different conversations with mainstream people who were genuinely curious about Bitcoin. And one conversation I had with this guy, he was an older guy, but as I was walking away from his table, he was like, in the Fed. And I was like, right on. But it doesn't just stop there. I'm more like in the whole government.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's a good start. You take away the quote-unquote money supply.
Right.
And at least he's putting two and two together with the Bitcoin and the Fed. A lot of people aren't making that distinction, because there's a lot of people out there who think the Bitcoin is the Fed, unfortunately.
Oh, well, they're worried about this. There's some conspiracy theories about this cashless system that they're trying to, supposedly the New World Order is trying to implement. And they think, you know, they're paranoid and they think Bitcoin is that system.
See, I agree with that conspiracy theory. I'm one of those conspiracy theorists.
I don't think that
Bitcoin is it. I think that they want a centralized cashless society, not a decentralized cashless society.
Like Ripple.
People aren't understanding that there's a difference, and that Bitcoin is decentralized. And people throw all these arguments at me about how it's centralized through the mining, and that there's these people that run it. And I really don't buy that. I see it as a decentralized currency.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely started out that way, and it's kind of inching towards centralization. But the core team is working on solutions for that. They don't want to implement anything too radical to the old school Bitcoin. But I do have faith in the Bitcoin core team.
Well, I hear the music, so we'll have to get into that more when we come back. You know, the whole difference, you know, again, for those who don't know, learned it from Grandpa on the radio about Bitcoin, what the Bitcoin core means.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Conversation we have all day around here. Freedom Fiends. So we're back. And I think where we left off, no, we're not going to go into what we were talking about during the break. where we left off, Shane, you were talking
crypto
about
crypto corner.
What you seem to think the Bitcoin Core team is after, and that of course led us to have to probably explain the difference there, right? Between
right.
Bitcoin Core, yeah. Bitcoin Core, which is what many people know as Bitcoin. It's the one that's been around since, what was it, 2011? Was that when it?
Wow.
I
2009
or 10, Yeah, okay, I always forget. Anyway, it's the one that's been around since then, and then we've obviously, as we've talked about, especially in recent weeks, there's the two different forks that have happened over the past a few months, I guess, that ended up creating essentially Bitcoin Cash and then Bitcoin Gold, which is still there. It's still, people are still trading for some money. Despite
I heard SegWit actually went live as well. Someone picked up the pieces and tried to pick up where they left off.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of things going there. So when Shane says Bitcoin Core, that's what he's referring to. The main one that most people refer to is Bitcoin, which just cleared the $8,000 mark today, right? I think it's still hovering mm-hmm. around there currently. So anyway, but yeah, so you were saying that they you were talking about what they were trying to do, or at least what their plan was, right? To actually still try to fix some things, despite what some people.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there, especially a lot of people I see who've jumped on the Bitcoin Cash bandwagon, claiming that that is the real Bitcoin.
Well, I don't agree with that part of it.
I don't either. But the people jumping on that are saying that the Bitcoin Core team has no interest in fixing anything, and they just want to totally take control. So
not necessarily true. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But that's what you were getting at. I just wanted to point that out. So
Bitcoin Cash does have a really unique opportunity to gain widespread adoption, and they do have different use cases. I think at this point Bitcoin is seen more as like a gold that you kind of hold on to, or it's like a savings account or a retirement fund that you don't really move around and spend every day. Bitcoin Cash is the unique opportunity to become sort of a kind of like more like the checking account, where you can spend it quickly on a daily basis. And so they're really trying for different things. And I think Bitcoin Cash, they just got impatient with the Bitcoin Core team about implementing those changes quickly and timely. So they went ahead and they hard forked back in August. And I don't have anything really against Bitcoin Cash. I think because there's been a lot of division within the community, but I think both of them have their niches that they can serve. And so I'm in the why not both camp. I actually do hold both Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. I was holding Bitcoin back on August 1st, so I still have those coins that came with the fork. Plus, I've also purchased some since then with U.S. dollars. However, I do think Bitcoin is my favorite, and I won't actually convert any Bitcoin itself into Bitcoin Cash, but I would spend fiat on Bitcoin Cash. But anyway, I did find a Forbes article. And mainly the reason I shared this Forbes article was because it kind of goes to show how mainstream Bitcoin has become. And I had a few different conversations with people on the street today about Bitcoin. So I think it's gaining a lot of adoption. And this is where, Bitcoin Cash has an opportunity to become that sort of instant payment that Bitcoin is not actually reached at this point. But I do have faith that the Bitcoin Core team will fix those problems. But basically, they talk about there's a difference in priorities between Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, whereas Bitcoin's primary priority is to maintain Bitcoin's qualities as a public, permissionless, and highly censor-resistant network. Whenever there's problems or exploits, they do get around to fixing these, although they try to do so in a way that's going to be permanent and they won't have to go back and, you know, fix it all the time. So he does go through the pros and cons in this article between Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. I've only got a minute left, so I don't really have time to get into the nitty-gritty of this article. But yeah, basically they each serve their own specific use case niches, and I think they can exist coexist side by side, and it doesn't have to be a contentious hard fork. It can actually be what they call a friendly fork, where both can coexist in the market together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that happening, because I like you was hodling Bitcoin at the time of the fork back on August 1st. So, you know, I have my Bitcoin Cash from there. I haven't purchased any more like you did, although I find what you said interesting. Maybe we could talk more about that when we get back, about you know, only trading FRNs for it and not Bitcoin, because I was considering doing the opposite. But we'll talk about more of that when we get back from the market.
Michael Dean more. And some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Meow. All right. And we're back with Freedom Fiends. And I'm Shane. And I'm here with Jeremy and John.
What up?
I believe last segment, we were talking a little bit more about Bitcoin. And I was briefly going through this Forbes article, which was titled Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash. A story of prioritization and healthy competition in money. And there was recently a hard fork of the Bitcoin blockchain to create Bitcoin Cash. And the reasons for doing so were kind of a disagreement between the community over what should be done about the scaling issues and the transaction times and fees. And the community that wanted the fast transaction times and the low transaction fees, they created Bitcoin Cash. And the original Bitcoin team, calling itself Bitcoin Core, is working on, they were originally working on this SegWit 2X, which was canceled. But they do still plan to implement SegWit, although I heard that someone took it upon themselves outside of the team to try to finish the SegWit fork. So I don't know. I heard that, that even after the snapshot was taken for SegWit, that someone moved ahead with that and actually forked the chain. So I'm not sure if SegWit actually exists as a real coin now or not. SegWit 2X. But the original Bitcoin blockchain is still 1 megabyte, and it does have segregated witness activated, but it's only with the 1 megabyte block size. But anyway, this article goes through the pros and cons of each one, and he talks about why he likes Bitcoin and why he likes Bitcoin Cash, and yeah, they both, I think, serve their own purpose, and they can exist side by side, and doesn't have to divide the community. But I think any further changes we make to Bitcoin itself should be arrived at through more of a community consensus. I don't think we should have these New York agreements behind closed doors that decide what a small group of people is going to do with this cryptocurrency that a lot of people are very heavily invested in. So I really applaud the Bitcoin Core team for not making any radical changes to the Bitcoin blockchain too quickly. So, I mean, I'm glad they're taking their time, but there are some issues that need to be, you know, fixed. But I do believe that they will do so in a fair amount of time.
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, you know, like you said, they both Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash could have their place if, you know, if enough people stop trying to, you know, claim dominance of one over the other. Because, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to like a direction a particular project is going in, but yeah, the fighting that has gone on in the community, but you know, the rift between the two camps here, at least on the extremes end, has been pretty insane. Although overall, I guess if you look at the culture and the extremes and any type of situation that you're talking about, they're usually just as crazy. So it should actually make sense. But it does seem, you know, I agree with you. It does seem would benefit a lot more people if more people could realize, well, no, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Why, you know, hashtag why not both? Because, yeah, if Bitcoin is just going to, you know, if the Bitcoin core is just going to focus on being a storehouse of value, you know, kind of like the whole digital gold type thing that gets talked about, well, then, yeah, then keep going in that direction. And anybody who is still holding that is still going to be in pretty good shape. And, you know, it may convince certain people not to get in at all because they're not going to, at least for a while, you know, get to the transaction fee issue. And that may still remain an issue for them, you know. So, you know, less people may be willing to get into it if the price still remains high and you have to deal with transaction fees, because that's what ends up happening. That's why so many people have held their Bitcoin for so long, because while it was originally touted to be the, you know, digital cash of the future, as things changed and everything kept proceeding and the transaction fees have had to necessarily increase, to the fact where I think I talked about it last week, where, you know, I had to make I had to make a transaction recently because I was so fed up with the wallet that I was using that I just had to get to another one. So I had no choice but to deal with the mining fees. And, you know, I paid something close to like $50 for a transaction. But it, yeah, just because I didn't care, because I was so frustrated that I was just like, I just have to. I'll eat the $50 in this case, whatever, you know. But, you know, a lot of people aren't going to use that. So if Bitcoin Cash, if that's, you know, that's their focus, and that's the claim, that was their main focus. That's why they split, is because they were more concerned with the transaction times and the fees involved. Then great, you know, focus on that. And there's no reason for, because, you know, unfortunately, it's the people within the community, but then it's also people on like the teams of both sides, at least, have seemed to go at each other back and forth kind of hard and like poke at each other. It's like, why, man? Just like, do your own thing. Focus on what you're doing. There's already like how many other, like 1,000 other something altcoins?
Oh yeah,
you know, all vying for different stuff.
Yeah, they're not the first one to try to do this, where they become the more instantaneous and cheaper version of Bitcoin. We've had Litecoin for a while now, and from some of my research, I really like what Litecoin tried to do. They even tried to kind of remain ASIC resistant at first, but now there are actually ASIC miners that have been released just for mining Litecoin.
Which is no way, you know. Yeah. Litecoin is actually those, until that happened, Litecoin was one of those ones you could still mine, although a very tiny amount, but you could actually still mine on your smartphone. Before that happened, because there's different programs out there, including one that I was just testing out. I was just messing around with the past couple of days, but I've already given up on MinerGate, which you can use on a web interface on your computer and stuff, but you can also do it from your phone and use the minimal, like 12 to 25, I think was the max I got, hashing rate on your phone to mine a certain, I guess it's the ones that use the crypto night code, which are things like Monero and Litecoin and Ethereum and stuff like that.
Yeah. And for those people who don't know out there in radio land, ASIC stands for Application-Specific Integrated Circuit, which is basically a piece of hardware that's designed for one specific purpose. And in this case, we're talking about Litecoin, and they eventually have built ASIC miners now. You can go get one for like a few $1,000, an ASIC miner for Litecoin. So basically, these ASIC miners will exploit, there's a proof of work exploit that they can use to mine coins more efficiently than most other methods of mining. And so Litecoin can also now be mined with an ASIC. But one thing I like about another particular altcoin called Vertcoin is that it attempts to be very much like Litecoin, except maintain that ASIC resistance and the decentralization that comes along with it. And they said that if anyone ever does develop an ASIC miner for Vertcoin, that the community has overwhelmingly decided to go with a hard fork to get around that. So if anyone does develop an ASIC, they're going to hard fork around it and make the ASIC basically worthless.
Hmm, that's interesting. I actually just became aware of Vertcoin within the last week or two with all doing all this research, because I had mentioned earlier I've been flirting with the idea of getting into mining. I actually had an email exchange with Michael about this last night, where he, you know, of course, decided to take to Facebook and basically said I was arguing with his advice, which is not true at all, Michael. I love you, but I wasn't.
Oh, I missed that.
I was floating the idea because, you know, I'm not going to be here in New York for too long, and despite what some people, you know, including he thinks, I actually don't pay that much for electricity out here compared to what the rest of New York, you know, what New York as an average does, because they're talking about the city, which charges it a ridiculous amount of money. They actually don't charge us that much here on Long Island. But anyway, Monero is actually one of those coins that's still mineable because it is still ASIC resistant. And, you know, you can mine it with, you know, even with the, you know, you can mine it with CPUs still, although obviously a minimal amount, like I said, because the difficulty on it is rising. I think, what is it, up to 30 billion now, somewhere around there? It was like between 28 and 30 billion, I think, over the past couple of days that I've been watching it. But anyway, yeah, so I've been looking into doing that, because at this point I'm just like, heck with it, why not? I want to diversify, and I'm trying to hold all the other stuff as much as I can.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad to hear that about Monero, actually, because Monero is one of my favorite privacy coins, I guess, if you will, because it's even more crypto than regular crypto, where it can't be traced or tracked or anything. So it's really popular on the dark web.
Yes, it's basically the king of the dark web currently, which I obviously like for many reasons too. But overall, you know, security wise, it's definitely one of the better ones, if not the best, as far as I know.
Dash also considers itself to be a privacy coin, but I think
they're not. From what I've read, they're not as private as they claim to be. Although I still kind of like Dash, but with Monero, they're unfortunately having issues with the transaction times aren't that bad, but they're having issues with the high mining fees right now too. You know, not as high as Bitcoin Core is currently having, but they are having some issues. So it's and considering the price is still only currently, I think we mentioned earlier, hovering somewhere around like 130 currently. You know, high transaction fees with that can turn certain people off, but it's another reason why I'm, instead of looking to go buying and then having to transfer, you know, everything and then pay those mining fees, why not mine them myself? Because it is still possible, you know, especially with they just came out with the past couple of months, these newer video, the newer video cards, GPUs that you can use to mine with, that are pretty amazing. And if you can get a hold of them, because they're selling out all over the place, and through supply and demand, prices rising everywhere for them, you know, not just because scalpers are buying them on the market and then trying to sell them for like $200-$300 more, but just other stores in general are just like, well, we're running out of them, so we can raise the price. But if you can get a hold of them, you can actually get these things up and running for not that much money and still be profitable. You know, I found one that I think I can make for about $3,000. So, interesting times, man. Get on this stuff. Crypto train. Arms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
And we're back for the final segment. Although, you know, most of the stuff we've talked about this hour has been relatively positive. We do have, I guess, some more heading in that direction. So we kind of have redemption in the third act tonight, which was a story from FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education, one of my favorite websites. And it's by somebody that I don't want to speak for John, but I think he does too. I know Shane does. You know, we all love Jeffrey Tucker.
I'm a huge fan.
So I thought. So yeah, I was honored
to meet him this summer in Michigan.
Yeah, I got to meet him last year at Porkfest, and then see and talk to him for a little bit this year at Michigan. So that was great. And I interviewed him on my show, The Seeds of Liberty, last year, which to date is still probably the most entertaining of the 130 episodes we've done, because the stuff that came out of his mouth and the stuff we ended up talking about and the quotes from him, out of context quotes that came out of that from him were priceless. about everybody, you know, stuff like everybody under 30 should be smoking cigarettes if they're not already. Just, you know, do it now, get it out of your system type of things. So I love Jeffrey. So this one was titled Why We Love Farmers Markets. And, you know, he was talking about the fact that he just recently went to one and how, if you know anything about Jeffrey Tucker, things that he loves, it's marvelous, you know, like McDonald's, like the wonder of things. And that's basically
big disagreement with him, actually, personally.
Well, on McDonald's specifically, yes. But anything he's passionate about, that's the way he talks about it, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
So that's kind of how, the theme of this article, he's talking about it, how great it is and how much fun he had there. But then he mentions the fact that if people come from, those dreaded foreigners and then come here to visit, friends of his, and they go to the supermarkets and stuff, which is where most people shop, it's like they're disgusted by the way the food is laid out for everybody and how it's so much processed junk and there's so many things on shelves instead of on ice, being kept cold because it's fresh, or stuff like that. And even the fruit and vegetable selection of those stores is horrible, but you don't see a lot of these things because, as we were talking about during the break, here in New York, they try, even though they're supposed to be deregulated to a large extent, which is a lot of the reason that people like to use the farmers markets, because there's certain federal laws that have been put in place that farmers markets have actually been given exceptions for, so they can skirt around a lot of the having to deal with the state and federal regulations regarding food. But here, they still find ways to keep them at an absolute minimum anyway, even though they're not supposed to be able to stop it, by making them come up with other permits for things. And other regulations they managed to hit them with, because like I said, I was telling the guys during the break, we have a farmer's market here that ends up being, I think only open for 5 months out of the year and only on Saturdays or something.
Yeah.
Where, the people who frequent it and the people that are the vendors there would much rather have it, I know a lot of them, I've spoken to them, would be quite happy to have it open at least 4, if not 7 days a week, because they have plenty of product and there is a demand for it. But they are a great thing. I'm a huge fan of them. I do like to attend them when I can. What about you guys?
Yeah, back home, they used to have farmers markets in Indiana. And the particular one that was near me, it seemed like it was only on Saturdays, but it was in a different location every week. So they had to bring their own tables and stuff and set up and then break everything down and take it back home again. So I can see how that was kind of a hassle.
Yeah, I'm way out in like a rural area, so we don't have many markets, but there are a lot of like small family farms where they leave like stands out in their front lawn on like the honor system with like a shoebox or whatever, and you just go up and take whatever you want, and there's nobody there, and you just leave whatever money it costs in the box. And that they have a lot of places like that around here that are open a lot, and there ain't many cops around to bother them.
Those are great. I love seeing those whenever I have got the travel, you know, people having those set up. And yeah, anything from like, yeah, different veggies or corn or even eggs I've seen sitting out there, you know, just like, hey, take some eggs, throw some money in the bucket.
It's yeah, they'll have thing. Them out in a cooler or whatever.
Yeah, it's awesome until government gets in the way. But yeah, man, if you have those around and you don't frequent them, just check them out, because you can find some really great food. Anyway, it's been a fun show, guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. And for everybody else, thanks for listening. More of us, go to freedomfiends.com.